First Thessalonians chapter number 2, and I'm going to read one verse. Normally I deal with a great many, but I want to look at one verse tonight. There will be others, of course, we will look at, but I want you to notice this one. I want to share with you tonight some very inner thoughts that I have as your pastor. Before we read tonight, let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time that we can have together. We pray for your leadership, your guidance. And oh God, I pray tonight that as we read and as we think of your word, that we might be blessed. We might be comforted. We might be convicted. We might be enlightened. Holy Spirit of God, do with your word as you know each of us need. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed." I want you to notice especially the last, actually couple of phrases where he talks about the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You have heard me say that one of my goals for you is to teach you how to love God. But may I also add to that, because I believe they're equally important, is that your faith may develop. I'm going to use the word increasingly. That's an adverb that's talking about the development going on and on and on. There seems to be like a horse and carriage. How many remember the song years ago, "Love and Marriage Go Together Like a Horse and Carriage"? Some of you are as old as I am. And, and it's really, I think, something that's very unique. As one increases, it seems that the other does as well. And so as I get in this pulpit and teach and preach or whatever it is, there's a desire to see you to love God more each and every day. But there's also that goal that your faith may develop increasingly. I believe the way to such an expectation is through the Bible. As our text revealed, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you. The Bible says in Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. It's the word of God that you and I need to work these things in us. It's through the word of God that we find out God loved us and God cares for us and God provided salvation for us, and all these things generate a love in our hearts for him. But we also find it's the word of God that teaches us about salvation and sanctification and all these actions that take place within our soul. And when we believe that, as we hear it and believe it, our faith is growing. It's a necessity. If we have a child that is born and does not grow, we take him to the doctor because we think something is wrong. And something needs to be done. Spiritually, that is the same case. And so we like to see faith grow. And how do we do that? I believe through the Word of God. An area that I have found that has a dramatic effect as we study the Word of God and then begin to apply it, it has a great effect upon our love and our faith towards God. You're going to love me because we're going back to something we dealt with all last week, and that is our finances. God, I believe, uses those to teach us of his love and teach us of our need of believing him and following him in all these things. It's an area whereby we combine the visible with the invisible, that we may see the invisible more clearly. You remember the verse that was dealt with on a number of occasions in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, That word abound means basically to grow, to get larger in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. Then he says this, see that ye abound in this grace also. From the context, we know he's talking about the matter of our giving. And thus, the reason for a missions conference, I believe, is twofold. One, of course, through it, missionaries can be supported. But also through it, our hearts are challenged to trust God more. We hear the truth, we act upon the truth, we see God react to our action, and we believe Him more solid day after day. The best thing that will make us pray is when we have a prayer answered, and that gives us impetus to go forward and pray again. Is that not true? And so you and I learn to practice our faith in this area. But I also believe that it's a reason for, and I'm going to go to another area of giving. It's called tithing in our local church. In the Old Testament, it was that meat might be in my house. And you're probably familiar, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So here in the Old Testament, you had the Levitical priesthood. Who was to support them? It was the people to whom they were ministering. Just as if you were to own a business and you go do something for somebody, they pay you for it. And so it's a principle that's very much the same. And it was that meat might be in his house, that those who labored there might be able to eat. In the New Testament, the principle is the same, I believe, as it applies to those who preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, before I read that verse, it was the year 1975. The month was June. And I read this verse, and our church was not quite 2 years old. And as I read this verse, I became very convicted. And on the 9th of July, I quit my job and went full-time with church. Why? Because God spoke to my heart here, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Though we find that the tithe was given long before the law, and the practice of it is yet in this day, there are some who say that it isn't New Testament. And I want to share with you tonight some reasons I believe that it is just as practical and just as godly and just as much for you and I as it was for the Jewish people. First of all, the statement that there is the Lord, that a tithe is the Lord's, has never been disputed in the New Testament. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 30, the Bible says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. And then it goes on to say, it is holy unto the Lord. Now here's how I feel about this. First of all, God owns everything, does He not? God made everything. Everything I have, God brought it my way. And so when God says, I want you to take just that part there and give it back to me, really, I'm giving to Him what's already His. I don't even look at the tithe as giving, quite frankly. It is something that's the Lord's, and so I need to make sure that it gets in, can I put it this way, into His hands. And I believe that we never see that disputed when we come to the New Testament. Matter of fact, I find something interesting. Jesus, one day, was sitting across from the temple, and He was watching people give. And, of course, a number of wealthy people came by, and they put their coins in, and they had kind of a thing, they call it a trumpet. It was a kind of a funnel-like thing, and it was made out of metal, and so when they tossed their coins in there, people could hear that. So it was a big coin, why they could hear it. And they knew. And if there was many coins, why you could tell that. Well, there was a little woman that came up, and we find the Bible said that she cast in just a couple of mites. That doesn't even add up to a penny. And the Lord Jesus said this, "For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." I say to you tonight, I believe Jesus knows the percentage of this widow woman as compared to others and compared to what she had in her possession. Jesus knows that and made comments concerning it. There's another place in the Word of God where we find that Jesus is really after the Pharisees and the scribes. Matter of fact, several times, I believe you'll find it 8 times in Matthew chapter 23, where he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And so he names some major problems that is taking place in their life. But listen to chapter 23, verse 23, after he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," he goes on to say, "For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." In other words, they were very meticulous about their tithe. And then he says, "And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Now listen to the next few words. "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." He's saying it was something you should do. And he's putting his stamp of approval upon it. You say, well, that was Old Testament, and that was the Pharisees, and that was the Jewish people. Well, let me take you to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. We find in this chapter some tremendous truth that God gives to us. Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews is just loaded. Notice verse number 1 says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave," what? "A tenth part of all," that's a tithe, "first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem," which is king of peace. Verse 3, "without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." Now consider how great this man was, "unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." Where did it go? To this priest. This is the order of Melchizedek, as we find listed throughout the Word. And then notice verse 5. "And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed them that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." Now, as we go on through the book of Hebrews, in this chapter we find out that Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek. And as we stop and consider, as they gave tithes to Melchizedek, as we give ours to the one after the order of priest, Melchizedek, our great high priest, I see that as a type of tithing for our day. And then going back to a verse that I demonstrated to you a few moments ago, God has ordained that preachers live of the gospel, which means that gifts to God are for them in the same principle of Old Testament priests. And thus we find written in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." I believe that this matter of tithe, 10%, is as much for our day as any day. And it's something is not demanded of us that I can see, but certainly the truth of it rings very true to me. As I consider that if Abraham did that with Melchizedek, should I not with the Lord Jesus Christ? I've had the privilege to be saved 52 years. Matter of fact, that took place back in the month of February. So I'm going on year number 53. I can remember when 52 seemed like it was old. Some of you are about that age, right, Donovan? And I look at these guys as young pups. Okay? But all through those years, immediately after I was saved, I do not know why, other than I had been in church, I'd heard about tithing, I knew what it was, but I began the very next Sunday to tithe of my income. And so for 52 years, I have done exactly that. If there was a time when I made $45.63, I would give $4.60, probably $5. I always rounded it up. I have found God to be faithful to His Word, and I have seen Him bless me over and over. I remember years that as we began this church of having very little, and in those initial years after I believed God wanted me to go full time, there were times I didn't know how we were going to do things. And yet God always blessed. I remember a number of different things. One of them that comes to my mind is one Christmas. I didn't know how I was going to buy any gifts for our children. Unbeknownst to me, the folks in our church took up an offering behind my back. Been doing it ever since. And if you're going to do something behind my back, I guess that's a good thing. And they gave me $200. I was so excited because it was the day before Christmas and we wanted to get something for our kids. And we're able to do so. It was tempting not to give of the tithe and use that for something else. But that wasn't going to happen. And God blessed. I remember a time when I was looking to purchase a van, a big van. When you have six kids, a station wagon was getting too small. And it'd been so simple just to have taken some of that and used it to purchase. And yet we waited and God blessed. Matter of fact, I had an almost brand new one laid in my lap for about half price, no interest. And God blessed in those things. We drove that a few miles, I must say. And over and over and over again, we've seen that take place. I believe that that verse back in Malachi, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord," that it might be in the Old Testament, but it's been in my heart, and I've proved Him, and I've seen Him do it. Now, I don't keep records. I don't sit down and say, "Okay, God, I gave you $10 today that belongs to you, and I'm giving it back to you, and I want to see you take care of me." That's not the deal. I just believe He does, and He has, and it's been marvelous. Let me tell you a story about a man that you knew. He believed there was three offerings to be given. First, there was the offering of the tithe that he believed went to the pastor and staff, whatever it might be. Secondly, he believed that he could go back to the Old Testament, use an example, in a building fund to take care of all the properties. And then he believed in faith promise. When he died, he was a member of our church. He was giving over $200 a week to missions. That was not including his tithe. I knew his income because he was a missionary, Brother Kimmel, who worked out of our church. My wife handled his finances. How in the world he did that, I don't know. But let me take you one step farther. Not only did he believe in giving and seeing God bless, his wife's still doing it today in faith promise. She's giving what he would be doing and what she would be doing. She says, I'm going to keep that up. She's in a rest home right now, recuperating. But God has blessed that lady, met her needs. I don't know how. Brother Kimmel would go into towns, meet with pastors, buy them lunch. He'd practically buy our groceries when he came to town. My kids loved him. We went to the ice cream shop and the bread store. I never figured out his relish for bread. And once in a while, he would say, would you mind if a couple of your boys went with me? And you know what he was doing? He was going up to McDonald's and buying them a meal. I know why. In that case, is because he wanted one himself. But he had a giving heart. I use that as an example because here's a guy that preached like Brother Ziner, who, by the way, is the same way, who practiced what he preached, and God blesses in it. It's marvelous to see. We have a great God who can meet every need that we have our way. And so I'm thankful this evening that I have the privilege not only to give up my tithe, but also my faith promise and see God work and bless in my life. You know, I don't really have much for retirement, though in the last few years we've been able, you know, the stock market going up and a couple things I had there, it looks pretty good, but it could go down real fast. We found that out a few years ago, didn't we? But I think maybe I could make it for a year. But we got a God that can take us to the end. And I know that, and I'm thankful for it. Amen.